everybody. Welcome to Humming Fools, a fortnightly podcast and amateur auditory guide hosted by nobodies and dedicated to the artists, dreamers, or anyone out there with the creative urge. I'm one of your nobodies, Kyle Stuke, and I'm joined by my co-host, Noah Bosley. Noah, how are you?
Good. Yeah? I like how you say it a little bit differently every time,
hey,
the intro.
I don't think the fans notice, but I do it for you.
No, I think they do.
Okay, my man.
All the fans. The hordes.
Yes. And tonight, we are visited by Jolie Storé, the gallery manager of Art Ventures NWA and a talented artist herself. Jolie, how are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here.
Thank you so much for coming.
Is that how you pronounce your name?
It's actually Joelle.
Okay.
Dang it.
You've said it correctly before, so I was surprised that you
changed it. Oh, I said Jolie, right?
Yeah.
The second time. Okay.
No,
this
both
is
times
good.
You said Jolie.
So Joelle
yes.
is correct.
Yes. yes.
Now, let me explain this.
Uh-huh.
No, I heard a hint of it. As I was doing research for you, I was like, how do I say this? I was like, I think it's Joelle. But then freaking Dolly Parton got into my head.
Oh,
and I started doing singing Jolene in my head. You know, I know it's Jolie, but I started adding your name to the song. And so it's just kind of been in the back of my head all day. And so at the moment where it most counted, it destroyed me.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. It's worth something talking about. So I'm glad we're here to clear that up.
I'm glad to be humbled.
So
Joelle Storé, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. At least I got the last part right. Anyway, enough about what's wrong with me. Let's transition.
It's going to come up again.
it always does, Noah. Looking into your stuff, it seemed beyond what you do with you know, the curation, all that. It looks like you're mainly a painter, but I also don't want to put you in a box. Is that kind of your main medium, or do you do stuff outside of that?
Yeah, I mean, just like, you know, anyone who's, you know, put in the position where they're working with artists, I myself am a working artist myself. And so I was able to use that background as part of my career because I'm an artist myself. Yeah.
Nice. Well, and it was cool to just discover the range of your work, because how I originally, you know, got into your stuff was your, Fayetteville personality series.
Oh, right.
And I just was like, oh, man, those are so cool. And you had a large variety of people and just very simple, but also you can tell, you know, the distinctions in the people. But then, you know, once we got into actually, you know, getting you on the show and looking into your stuff, I was like, oh my, there is a lot of variety here. So let's dive into that, Noah.
Yeah.
Great.
So you were born, and please correct me if my research ever proves to be false, like
sure.
my pronunciation. You were born in Belgium.
Yes.
You lived there until you were 12.
I lived actually
slash in Europe till
in Europe until I was 12. I lived in a variety of places. Yes.
Okay. And
when I say variety, I meant like cultural variety.
So yes.
I wasn't like,
right.
you know, it's not like it wasn't a novelty. I mean, it was a novelty in my life. I was very humble to have that experience, but I experienced a lot of diverse cultures, and that just kind of is a lot to take for somebody my age, especially at, you know, for how
yeah.
young I was.
Kind of shocks you into learning real quick about stuff.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Adapting, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then with that, I mean, you have two different cultures. And so your dad is Belgian, and then your mother is Congolese.
Mm-hmm.
And so that I've seen plays a huge part in that as well.
Yeah.
And so let's tackle that, because something that I thought was interesting that you said in your own description, like on your website and stuff, is you described your art and your upbringing as Afro-Teutonic synthesis.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just break that down for us, what that means?
Yeah. So Teutonic, it's not... When I was using the word Teutonic, it wasn't just referring to my birth roots, but also originally my father is Belgian, but I was also brought up in Austria. So the majority of my teenage, well, actually childhood. So German culture became more of a assimilated part of my life as I was growing up. So Afro-Teutonic refers more to, you know, my physical roots, which is obviously coming from my mother and father, and then Teutonic meaning what I've learned as I was growing up. And a lot of that is, you know, the Teutonic part mostly comes from my upbringing, coming from schools. I had to go to German schools and learn German.
Yeah.
I don't know if have you ever read Persepolis?
Mm-hmm.
I went to that same school.
Really?
Yes. Interesting. Yes. Wow. And when I watched that cartoon, well, I read that it was based off a comic book by Mariam Satrapi, but when I actually saw the cartoon, you know, I was like, oh my God, I actually know that building. I know everything that's depicted. And it felt so nostalgic because I felt like we had a similar story, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's kind of where that ties it in. Yeah.
Nice. You were 12 years old when you left. And mm-hmm. then did you go straight to Fayetteville, Arkansas?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Dove straight into Arkansas.
And you, at that point, didn't know English. Or did you?
I did not know. I knew English because I mostly was raised watching Cartoon Network. Bless the Lord, they were airing Cartoon Network in Austria at the time. So I knew Dexter's Lab. I knew Johnny Bravo. Yeah. I mean, I grew up mainly reading European comic books, but watching American comics was a huge influence in my life. You know, in classical BDs, which is called bande dessinée, like mm-hmm. in European comic books, the images are reminiscent of live action shots where each action is actually a frequency of images depicting an action, but kind of animated. And Tintin is the style is very similar to that.
Yeah.
Little Nemo by Winston McKay actually also pays homage to that. And growing up, seeing it animated kind of shifted me to this, you know, oh, I can watch cartoons and I can learn English better or German.
Mm-hmm.
Cow and Chicken in German was very interesting, but it was mostly all in English, but it was British English.
Mm-hmm.
So the cartoons were in English, but the commercials were British.
Mm.
The branding was British. The pronunciation was British. The writing, I mean, it was... When I came to Arkansas, I was too polite.
Well, at least you came to Arkansas, not New York or something like that, where that would have been a pretty rude awakening. At least everyone around here is semi-nice for the most part.
Well, it was weird because I grew up loving movies my whole life. I'm a huge movie buff. I mean, I'll watch any film and be like, oh, that's actually Robert Duvall right there, but he's 12 years old, but you don't recognize him.
Yeah.
I'm that person.
Mm-hmm.
Because I recognize, you know, artistic depictions and faces and details.
Mm-hmm.
And movies and cartoons were actually the gateway for me to learn not just art, but language as well. And that's including English and mm-hmm. German.
Oh, okay, nice. Yeah, I had read somewhere that is like you stated, like learning English through movies and hip hop as well.
Oh, yes. My mother was a big hip hop fan.
Wow. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yes, I'm not going to say his name right now, you know, for obvious reasons. You know, a movie came out and, you know, Space Jam kind of broke that barrier, you know, where it was cool to listen to hip hop, and in Europe too.
Mm.
So, you know, my mother would always blast Whitney Houston or, you know, Tupac or Snoop Dogg in the car.
Yeah, sure.
but she loved R&B and, you know, feelings of, I learned, you know, a lot of English through music, and that was through, you know, through her, her influence.
Mm.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And I'm glad that you brought up Tintin because that was one of the cool things diving into research was seeing quickly like, oh, like comics were an influence and obviously that one being specific. You also mentioned, though, besides Tintin, I think it was your grandfather on your dad's side being a big, or no, I think it was your mom's side being a big influence. Was he like, he was a writer, right? And he also did a graphic novel or novels?
Yes, he was actually a writer, and he had, I'm sure he had illustrators working with him who actually did graphic novels for him. Ironically, Belgium is also notorious for, I wouldn't say ironically, maybe that was part of the influence in the Belgian Congo happened, but comic books were a big deal back then.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, revisiting that was a big influence.
Well, I'm glad to know about that now because Noah and I were talking. I watched it, Tintin, like as a kid. Like I saw like the either. I mean, I don't know if it was like movies or if it was.
It was like
episodes. Of a cartoon.
I think it was just like it was almost longer episodes of you know TV cartoons, but they would focus like each episode would focus on one of the books, but yeah. More like a little movie.
It's a movie. Think about this instead of sliding money into a, you know, thing where you can see the motion, you can just buy that into a book. And of course that increased literacy like crazy.
Because kids will just pick that up and read. Just read through all of them. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I remember actually that when I was a child, my mother had to teach me the alphabet and I already knew it because I could read ways and I was very young. So it was.
Yeah, I think that's why it works so well in animated form is because like it's already so much like movie frames on the page that it's
visually stimulating.
Yeah, it just translates really well.
I think Garfield's better.
I will fight you.
The way he like eats the lasagna, you could just tell was designed. No, that's something I loved growing up in Ecuador, but there was no one really read comics. And I kind of wish that I could have gotten on that European train because it seems like it's A, more prevalent, but also B, taken more seriously to where it wasn't just superhero stuff, which I like.
I didn't know, like I said, in Tintin, you learn about a lot of countries. I didn't know anything about South America until I read that comic book. And there's one where he actually travels to the Amazon, and I think they go through Peru and whatnot, but
I think you're right.
It's a secret of the Incas.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's actually really, it's obviously not in the same, you know, geographic location, but it's still interesting to see South America depicted, you know, with the Amazon. And I mean, it's that exoticism that made it so special. And it also talks about political science. There's characters that are actually from those cultures that, you know, that are based off real people. I mean, it's, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah.
But I didn't know you grew up in Ecuador. That's interesting.
Yes, Noah and I are both, because he
grew up. Foreigners.
Yes. Who don't necessarily look like it.
But, no.
Because Noah's from France and then, I'm
what?
From Ecuador.
Yeah.
Why are we not speaking French right now?
Because you'll make Kyle feel insecure.
Because my French is rusty.
No, you can use me. You don't lie.
Oh, I thought you were German because your last name is Stuck.
Yes. It's a German name, right?
Well, my dad told me it's Dutch. But he's known to be a liar.
That's no, right.
Maybe
That's
he said Deutsch.
Yeah. Deutsch. Maybe so. We don't know.
Yeah, maybe he said Deutsch. It's Dutch.
Distinction.
While we're on this train, just because what you said sparked something in my head, like having the characters be from the actual place.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been talking about, I don't know if y'all have heard about this, but a lot of people have been talking about the new Rambo movie and how it's problematic.
Have you guys heard about this at all?
I just think it's maybe a different generation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we grew up with Stallone, I'm hoping.
The
whole beefcake culture. So it's
right.
You know, I understand that, but it's like, I've seen he's done worse.
So I think I haven't seen the movie. Oh, you're fine. I haven't seen the movie, so I can't criticize it. But because I love First Blood, the first Rambo, my dad and I watched it. We were like, oh, manly. You know, it's not really a manly movie. It's kind of a sad, like, Vietnam kind of sucked.
Yeah.
And PTSD, you know, but it's kind of remembered for the sequels. But this newest one is kind of just him versus the cartel, basically, because they like kidnap his niece or, you know, it's basically Taken.
Right.
But then everyone was kind of pointing out, they're like, you know, does our country need like a white rancher, like just murdering a bunch of Mexicans right now?
Yeah.
And again, it's not that like anyone from anywhere can't be portrayed as an antagonist.
Sure.
Because everyone sucks.
Sure.
But it's, if you don't have anyone else from Mexico who's portrayed in like a positive light, then it just kind of looks crappy.
Yes.
It's just like, or like, did it have to be the cartel? Like,
yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. So I haven't seen the movie, but that's kind of that. what you said sparked that thought of like, if everyone who's other to the viewer mm-hmm. is portrayed as bad, then just, I mean, those are kind of messages that are delivered, even if they're subliminal. It's right. just for kids watching.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's interesting because like you're bringing up Rambo and, you know, Schwarzenegger and all, well, kind of in that dilemma, but it's like, usually they're known to fight the enemy, like, in their turf. And then now that I'm hearing that this is close to home, you know, it's kind of a... It's interesting how that's played out because it's coming from, like, our generation. And I don't know if I can comment much on that because I've never seen the series. And so I'm very mm-hmm. curious. I've seen Terminator get destroyed over the last few yeah. years. So I'm... I'm it's to me it's kind of in that same spectrum, you know, but yeah.
Which is funny because both series have a new movie coming
out. Yeah, so I was so, thinking the same thing. Yeah. So
just like, funny with Terminator because it's always like, you know, it's back. We actually didn't get it. It's coming again. Uh-huh. Like, we can keep doing this until the end of time.
For I mean, as long as Arnold is alive.
Yeah.
I'd say make an Expendables 5 where we actually have the characters that they actually portrayed into a movie instead of the actors all together.
Yeah. Oh, see, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's better. That's what we thought we were getting.
Yeah, have Rambo and Terminator and everyone just come together for
They're
one.
Like, is this really that stupid? This like, is, you've been watching the other movies. This is fine.
This is the new Marvel Cinematic Universe.
You do have different versions too. Like, you have Rocky.
Yeah, you may
want to
write some licensing right now because somebody may be listening and getting too inspired.
Yeah, I know. Someone's taking notes.
We got some good stuff cooking.
We got some big wigs listening to this, and they're gonna steal the idea.
I'm just laughing because I'm like, what's Terry Crews gonna be? Just like a host? Right.
It's going to be his character from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Well, I was thinking he was just going to be the Old Spice guy.
Oh, yeah.
Just I was just thinking Old Spice. Just night show host.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't have a great part.
Anyways, yeah. Yeah.
My last question, just sticking with cinema, since you said
your
that
last
you love...
one?
Okay. No, with
oh.
movies.
Oh, okay.
This
good.
Has been great.
You're not getting off that easy.
Okay, good.
What are some of your favorite films, just out of curiosity?
Oh, my gosh. Anything that had a female empowerment as a kid to me was just like, yes. Like, you know, like, God, I wanted to be Sigourney Weaver growing up. I saw it. I grew up watching Aliens 3, scared me. Scary, but she like shaved her head and like, you know, it was just cool. And then, you know, Terminator 2, Judgment Day was amazing. I actually have a funny story, but I ran into somebody at a restaurant and he was probably 30, 37. And he started talking to me about, oh, you know, you've never seen Top Gun. How about like, you know, Lost Boys? And I was like, well, you know, Terminator 2 is pretty awesome. And he's like, I've actually never seen it. And it really upset me.
It upsets me.
You know what I'm talking about?
Especially because he's giving you crap for not having seen Top Gun.
I hate that kind of like gatekeeping, like you're inferior because you haven't seen this, but everyone hasn't seen something. It's like, if you're going to claim to be knowledgeable in a certain area, you at least have to be able to back it up.
Exactly.
That's very silly. Shame to you, strange man.
Well, I see him quite a lot, and I'm gonna every time I see him, I'm just gonna ask him.
Never let him live it down.
Have you watched Terminator 2 yet?
Yeah, I mean that's pretty much what I'm gonna ask him. But then my other one that I was very impressed with was Cloud Atlas.
Really?
And, yeah. And
interesting.
I love that movie. Like, I watched my grandmother passed actually. She was from Belgium, and that movie like helped me cope with her death. You know, my friend was in the movie, and I didn't know it until like way later. He just randomly shows up in the scene.
Really?
And I was like, oh my God.
Wow.
And then my fourth one, I already said three.
You're allowed as many as you want.
I hope so. My God, it was Mad Max, like the new one.
The Fury Road?
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
I don't know. Movies are just healing for me. Like, I lost a friend also that year that I actually knew for a very long time. And I just watched a movie like six times that week. And every time I kept inviting friends, it was like, let's go see it. Like,
yeah. That's awesome.
Like, we'd be on Dixon one night and I'd be like, let's go see Mad Men.
You're like, so this bar is great, but I'm looking at my phone. See Mad Max. There's a showing of Mad Max happening.
Yeah, it was exciting. It was like it was a party. And,
yeah, it's so good. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you have a range of movies that just over
Thank
time.
Thank you. I was trying to make sure I touched base on every genre.
I mean, they're all basically the same. I don't know what you're... No, I'm just
joking. It's funny. I'm the only person I know who has seen and liked Cloud Atlas.
Oh, really?
So that's kind of funny. Yeah. Every time I talk to people, they're like, oh, yeah, I remember hearing about... I don't think it was well marketed. It kind of flew under the radar for such a big... intense production and a long movie. It like no one really talked about it when it came out. I liked it a lot. I play that soundtrack regularly.
Me too. Oh my gosh. Tom Tweaker is a great director too, by the way. Just to add to the soundtrack.
Yes.
There's another movie by the same director and the Wachowski, well, not Wachowski, but Tom Tweaker and the same soundtrack.
Mm.
But it's called Perfume. Have you seen that?
Oh, I heard about it. I never saw it.
Yeah.
What's it about?
To check it out.
Well, personally, speaking of Afro-Teutonic,
tie it back in. No.
Right. just to be more relevant and not just go too off topic, which I'm known for. I grew up, knowing German. I learned German at the age of 7. So it also exposed me to German folk tales and stories.
Mm.
And Germany's notorious for their short stories. Like it's like your grandmother, they're just life's lessons.
Yeah. And it usually ends poorly for kids who who behave badly. It's pretty dark.
It's like, if you keep sucking your thumb, I'm going to cut it off.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Or
it's like old wives' tales kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Or if you don't, I'm not going to say that one on the air. Maybe
we'll ask you off air.
Yeah, that would be good. I read about that short story and then I saw the movie and I didn't realize it was based off of it, but it's a man who was born with a gift to have a strong sense of smell, and apparently he smells like...
Oh, I've heard about this movie.
I'm just going to stop there then.
What? Yeah. No, it's like... I remember reading the plot synopsis for this and being like, that sounds crazy.
Uh-huh.
But what is it? You have to keep going. Okay. It's something weird.
Yeah. Alan Rickman is in it. So if you're you're a big Harry Potter fan, he's great in it. But eventually he smells somebody. As he gets older, he can smell like, there's somebody in the car driving by on Greg. They're smoking right now. That's how good he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he almost becomes like docile, just like an animal. And he smells a woman, a virgin, purity, someone that's been untouched. And so he's so obsessed with it that it just drives him insane. And he's trying to learn how to harness smell. So he finds this virgin and he just falls in love with her and then tries to he freaks her out and he kills her. And he's like, oh, no, the smell is gone. How do I bring it back?
Yeah.
I'm sure it gets pretty crazy.
Oh, he learns how to conceive the smell of glass, the smell of water. I mean, it's
wow.
It gets dark.
Mm.
Very, very German. Very good stuff.
It gets very German.
But it's great. It's so beautiful. Like, it's just written so well.
Huh.
But the movie is as the same level as Cloud Atlas. Very visual, very, very
kind of
deep.
Artsy and, yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I think people were also ready to hate Cloud Atlas. I think they were I think they were just against everyone, the filmmakers, because
I don't know why.
The depictions, I think, were a little, sensitive for some people, obviously. But a lot of people actually.
No.
They had to wear prosthetics. Facial prosthetics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there was that. That's true.
Well, I was just thinking that, and then also like the last Matrix films. I just think people were
We're just like ready to write off anything that they made.
Yeah,
gotcha. Yeah.
So they just, and it's very high concept. I haven't seen it, so I'm excited to watch it.
Well, anytime you have 4 hours to kill, you watch.
Yeah,
I'll watch it in parts.
Yeah. I think it may have been a lot more deeper than that, because the Wachowski brothers were transitioning as well.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
then it was siblings, and then now sisters.
Yeah, and then it was sisters. So, you know, at the time, you know, they were just like, you know, we don't want to talk about this stuff. I mean, I've read a lot about this stuff.
Mm.
It's sad how you find out about those things years later, but I'm glad, right. like I said, it's written. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for diving into movies with us.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel we like love this, it. We kind of went off topic.
No, this is what we do all that we live for it.
Yeah. Our title is Fool Humming Fools. So yeah. This is a part of it. Last or 2 weeks ago, we had our pet peeves of storytelling. And so we joked it was the most real Noah and Kyle conversation ever. Because it was just us talking about movies and being like, that's so dumb. That's so dumb. We love this. So
yeah.
We're always willing to talk shop.
Yes. Okay.
But let's get back to you.
Okay.
So you grow up in Europe. Mm-hmm. You come over to Fayetteville, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. You've now learned English through movies, hip hop, comics, but it's just a very different culture. So you start getting into art, and that's helping you connect with people. Maybe, yes.
No, I've been drawing since I could read comic books pretty mm-hmm. much. In Belgium, especially Brussels, like we're known for comic books. I mean, it's just like mm-hmm. everybody draws. My, you know, we had, I don't know if you know Boulet Bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That guy lived down the street from my grandmother's house. He was alive at the time.
Wow.
And like you had like Benoit Brisefer, like you had like posters everywhere. I mean, I know it's like it's going back in time. And like Spirou like,
and Fantasio. Yeah.
Yeah. Like all this stuff is everywhere. And you're just like, well, that's just normal. And my mother was actually the artist. So she would draw all the time when she was on the phone. And she read a lot of magazines like Vogue and Fashion. So like I would copy like whatever I could get out of the gossip magazines. And just like, it was called Voici at the time.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, I used to read those like crazy. And then I would just draw like the women. And, you know, I watched, you know, Paris Fashion Week, like female figures, mm-hmm. like Alec Weck, like all the models, like those, all that tying in. And then there's school. I had a very poor attention span.
Gotcha.
Mm. Not only that, but I had to learn the language too mm-hmm. in every country I had to live in. So I remember I would just draw and just get distracted. And that got me a lot of attention in class from people.
Mm.
That's the first networking 101.
Yes.
At a very young age. And I was like, wow, I don't speak German, but they want to talk to me because they want my drawings.
And they want to ask you to draw stuff for them.
And when they ask you to draw stuff for them.
Nice.
So they were like, oh my God, I miss hearing German, you know, small, just Austrian kids speaking with a thick, like speaking French with a thick German accent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Joel, can you draw me something, please? Like, but imagine that in French. And it's like, you know, maybe. Like, it was like a power play.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And then eventually I started making more friends.
Yeah. But
I was also good at other things, you know, sports, other things. But drawing was something that, like, got me a lot of attention. And my French teacher, this was back in Vienna, Monsieur Brugier, it was like, God, like, I was probably 10 years old. He's like, hey, I'm releasing a newspaper for the school. I want you to be our illustrator. I was, like, the first. I was only 10.
Mm. Wow.
First commission.
Yeah. First commission.
That's cool.
But before that, of course, I would draw at home and
mm-hmm.
my parents and my grandmother would see that I could draw. But, you know, I have a great family, but it was more in school where it was like, oh, like she's different, you know?
Mm. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when did you kind of transition to doing a lot of painting?
I taught myself how to paint when I was probably 13. I just bought a set from Hobby Lobby. This is probably when I moved here. I was just trying to find a medium to pass the time. And I learned painting more in school. I was more of a illustrator, drawer, painting. And I learned that a lot later. And of course, developed that more as I started working at the gallery as well.
Nice. And then when did you get into contact with, it was before it was called Fayetteville Underground?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when did you first get connected with them? And then how did you transition to eventually being the like main curator?
Oh, I was placed in charge as gallery manager as of October 2016.
Okay.
And ever since then, we decided to, you know, turn the place, basically just turn it into a nonprofit and just change the whole outlook. And with a wonderful team and staff, you know, especially our director, Sharon Killian, it was just amazing. You know, we both had a vision about the arts in Fayetteville, and, you know, through our developments, we were able to see the issues in the community and turn those into possibilities. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, we decided to mostly highlight, you know, not just collaborate with the community, but, you know, document and also touch base on micro communities that may not get the same exposure. And that has been, you know, a huge plus to us. You know, they'll ask us, we curate the works at the Faulkner Center as well. Like, we'll have a show theme for Black History Month, or it's themed around Islamic art, or, you know, contemporary art from, you know, Native American artists or Latino artists. I mean, it's really fun, you know, because I've been around networking because of art since I was very little. And without speaking the language, those visual stimulations have allowed me for people to open up.
Mm-hmm. So in my head, as you're talking, I was like, okay, so that sounds intimidating to me. But then you were like, it was fun. And I was like, okay, never mind. So do you think that's just, again, like you said, it's due to your upbringing and being exposed to all these different things, and art being that communication device that then being in charge of like choosing things and helping facilitate others was, because that, again, I get stressed out easily. So I was like, that sounds stressful. You know, it's awesome. Yeah. But for you, it's just exciting.
Yeah, it's I've always had a keen for problem solving. I don't know why. You know, you go to your typical Belgian visit to your grandmother's house, you sit and you play games. But you play problem solving games. It's almost like your grandparents are like, you know, oh, I haven't seen you in months. I'm going to test you.
Are you still mine?
Are you a changeling?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, but your father has told me you had this grade in math or something. And then, you know, like that.
Prove it. That's
how it was, you know. That's how it was with your grandparents. Mm. But problem solving overall is to me something that excites me. And I like to provide ideas, hopefully, get a platform to try it on.
Yeah. What's been like while it's been really fun and you enjoyed it, what's like the hardest part of that? Like, what's the stuff that we don't see that we're not grateful for?
Oh my gosh.
How should you be affirmed?
working with artists has been an amazing experience. But making sure that there's punctuality, making sure that you have your artist statement and your material has been great. Cause I know that I was in that position.
Mm.
So to me, I feel obligated to speak out about it because it does make it difficult for some, but it makes it easier for you, especially if you're trying to market yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I have to say about that. The easiest part about being a gallery manager is having an open mind.
Mm.
And that's being open to ideas and interpretations. Of course, there comes a few exceptions here and there,
right. But
I think giving the artist the right to express themselves and listen to them, you know, is what we generally provide, you know, as they apply.
Yeah. So,
is there a certain level of like controversy that you'll kind of push back on an artist and be like, listen, like, we understand you're expressing yourself, but this might be a little too much? Has that ever happened, or are you? like, is there any kind of preparation that goes into dealing with that?
Yeah, usually if the topic does have a sense of controversy, meaning, you know, we may have to be more cautious of our audience coming in.
Right.
Since we have a lot of kids coming to the gallery, mm-hmm. you know, there needs to be, you know, signage.
Right.
We had V.L. Cox come in April 2017, and she actually brought in a Klan rope. And it was 100 years old.
Wow.
And it had, you know, it still had kerosene stains on it and blood stains through the rope. And it was up for February, well, I think April, actually, which is right after Black History Month.
Right.
So clearly having that up at that time would have not been appropriate.
Yeah.
But still, it raised a lot of topics of conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of her other works actually touch base on those topics as well. Bless her heart. We were very blessed to have her bring in her work. I would say that extremity can be curated to a good sense.
Mm.
But otherwise, you know, if it has a narrative, if it makes sense, I believe it's automatically curated. And there just needs to be a sense of, you know, I don't want to say cleanliness.
Right.
Just discipline, you know, yeah. to get your work curated into a show.
And there needs to be reason and thought. And yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it plays into that whole, like, I feel like young artists, and I've, you know, had those growing pains myself where it's like, oh, you're taking away my romantic vision of, like, I don't want to write a statement about myself, or I don't want to, you know, do this or that. It's like, I just want to make the thing, leave me alone, mom or dad. You know, like, but then it's like there's real world, too, to where, like, now when I'm on people's websites, I'll be like, oh, how am I supposed to learn about you? There's no about. This is stupid. Like, I'll get angry, like, when I'm, like, researching stuff.
Yeah.
Or, like, for random people whose sites I visit and it's, like, not clear or they don't talk about themselves. Like just certain things that are helpful in, like, plugging yourself or collaborating. And it's just kind of funny. And then, like you said, being late to things. Like, it's just, it's not part of the art, but there's certain things that you need to do to participate.
Yeah.
So I could see that being frustrating of like, I mean, things be on your happen. Side.
You know, people, things happen in people's lives. I'm fine with that. It's just, you know, just tell me and I can come up with however many plans I can to
sure.
make it
yeah,
work.
You're a problem solver.
It's just part of being professional and dealing with other professionals and your peers and stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh, we've had issues where, you know, we're installing a show and then like they'll say, hey, you know, I accidentally pulled the lights, so all the electricity's out or something.
Oh,
you can't
man.
See the painting. I mean, I've seen, there's every situation, but like I said, you just have to have an open mind and be willing to solve the problem.
Mm.
You're like, all right, tonight's bring your own candle.
That's right.
Yeah.
Don't get too close.
Intimate with the art, but not too intimate. Yeah.
Yeah. This new exhibition is an experience you will never see.
You're like, I can spin anything.
You can smell the paintings.
Yeah, you won't believe your eyes.
It's an extra $10. So for yourself, is it easy to balance doing that, facilitating others while also, you know, focusing on your own creativity? Or do you find it kind of leans one way, you know, heavier than the other at times?
Oh, well, I do work a lot.
Yeah.
but that's not just work, but for myself as well. Mm-hmm. I love keeping my brain busy. I love discovering things. I like to, you know, when I get the chance, I work out, you know, let's say, we have a volleyball tournament and then there's this exhibition. You have to go to Little Rock and live paint, but you have to run the gallery. So I'm able to manage those things, but every once in a while, you know, I do get those moments where I can actually just relax and enjoy my time. So
yeah,
I can juggle that very well.
How do you get into the zone / do you have any like rituals for when you create, or what's your like ideal like space?
Oh, a good movie that has a lot of talking in it where I don't have to see it. If I'm painting,
you can just listen
and just listen to it. A good soundtrack also, just because, you know, I can at least, if I'm using my one sense, I have the others to rely on. And I don't know, a good meal I like to cook too. So
nice.
Yeah.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would probably get distracted. Be like, all right, America's next great novel. Then I'd be like, pasta.
Yeah.
The Godfather. I don't know. I was trying to think.
Because you have to make pasta if you're watching The Godfather.
Of course. Sorry. Audience members, I put my fingers together in a very insensitive manner, you know, mimicking an Italian chef. Noah, you can conduct the rest of the interview. I'll go outside.
No, that's fine.
So something else that I'm curious about that was on your website when you kind of were talking about your specific style, mm-hmm. and I don't know if you're beyond this now and it just wasn't updated, but you kind of talked about, it said in describing, it says now she is diving deep into a part of herself that she used to be a little shy about exposing. And yeah. I think that was the Afro-Teutonic synthesis, or was that something else?
I was, you know, when you're really into networking, you tend to work for others, mm-hmm. and you're doing things that other people like, and you're kind of putting yourself behind.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the more I started focusing more on my own work and realizing, you know, to, you know, try to be more original with what I'm creating instead of relying on getting validation, I just started creating work for myself. And I think it's gotten the best response so far.
Hmm.
Nice. And are you wanting to, like with what you're doing right now, are you still just as excited about it? Or do you have ideas for new things you want to try that you're currently flirting with? Or?
Oh my gosh. It's funny you say that because I was just recently appointed a position in this Fayetteville Arts Council, and I applied for it. Didn't tell anybody except for, you know, well, my boss, maybe I told her, but, you know, I was just kind of like, yeah, whatever. I'm going to try it. And I ended up not realizing that I was actually very passionate about it. I was just very shy showing it to people.
Yeah.
And when that happened to me, it was like, you mean I get to actually help out bringing to the arts with the community? And I was so excited when that happened. So I don't know what else to say about that.
That's cool.
I think we should say congratulations.
Yeah, that's thank awesome. You.
That's very exciting.
It's, you know, yeah. Yeah, I want to do more. Absolutely.
Well, and I don't know you that well.
Oh.
But from doing all my research, it feels very well earned. Like, and that was kind of cool to see is like, it was harder to find stuff from the past, obviously, but there was this picture painted of like you just getting involved with Fayetteville and how it started with a mural here, there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
To see then all the different interviews and appearances and then someone who is facilitating other people. So, again, I think it's well-deserved, even though, again, I'm a stranger. So you're probably like,
thank you.
Cool guy. But that's
it's like the best LinkedIn ad ever.
And for 10% off a free trial of premium, you can use the code Humming Fools.
Yes.
Never stop hustling.
That's not our.
I hate myself.
They're listening.
Yeah, they are. They are.
Hey, I will take a sponsorship. I have no shame. I gotta put bread on the table.
Yeah.
No, you got any questions? I've been hogging the microphone.
That's like fine. It's flowed really well. So, well, kind of in the spirit of like learning from history and things like that, having grown up in Belgium, and Belgium having kind of this expansive and dark colonial history and all that stuff, I'm sure that it's also because of that a kind of a treasure trove of African history and art and all these things. Is that something that kind of you incorporated that you kind of cherished? Like, is there any part of it where you're like, you know what, there's a dark history behind it, but it because of it I was also able to learn about, you know, my roots in the Congo and all these things? Like, do you think of it in a positive light in any way?
I'd say it's pretty platonic because the art has enabled it to be documented in literature and writing and movies.
Right.
So it's, you know, it can be perceived one way or the other. And I feel like the arts is obviously a medium that has allowed me to revisit that. And yeah, that's all. I was trying to come up with an answer that just really tied it.
No, that's totally fine.
But that's all I can think of right now. Yeah.
It was just something that came to my mind. I was like, man, that, you know, there's a lot of darkness there. But there's also, you know, the fact that.
And lightness too.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And there's the mix, obviously. And yeah. So it's just like. Yeah, what can we learn from it? And is there any positivity and all these things? So
yeah.
Let's see. Did you experiment with any other mediums other than painting while you were trying to, you know, find your artistic identity? Or was that kind of what you got into and you're like, hey, this is what I want to do?
I would say that occurred three times in my life. I experienced with marketing when I started being a, you know, I wasn't full time. It was more of a, you know, collaborative graphic designer for Fayetteville. Mm. So that exposed me to marketing.
Yeah.
Because I was able to not only, you know, get to work with these, you know, with a great group of people.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time. And, but also I was able to reflect back on what I've learned living in Fayetteville for so many years and how to illustrate that. And then, the second portion was learning about problem solving, but in the more direct fashion that goes into, teaching and, exhibitions. And, that was working as a tinkering lead. This is back at the Scott Family Amazium.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the launching team for that. So facilitation and working with the large public, you know, like, hey, how are you going to teach this group in 5 minutes how to do this?
Right.
That was just fantastic.
Mm.
And of course, with the Art Ventures being the third, it was definitely compassion. That is collaborating with the community and sharing people's stories to the public. Meeting people and have all sorts of stories,
yeah.
You know, but it was great. So it kind of goes in stages. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. So speaking of the art community, as an outsider, just being, not being a minority and, but being an artist as well, I've been trying to see, is there a big community for artistic minorities, you know, like people who just like have stories to tell and you just don't see a lot of it. Or at least it's not as commonplace. I'm sure if you know where to look, you can find it. But do you think that's more of an exposure issue or is it really a small community?
I would say we're here. I mean, the people are here.
Sure, yeah.
It's more of a networking issue. And when you don't have the arts, the networking is not there.
Right.
And when Crystal Bridges was built, that started creating a larger, not just demand for the arts, but also, well, who else can we get to? Well, you saw the exhibition they had 2 years ago for Black History Month.
Yeah.
And that was powerful, mm-hmm. you know, because it's like, wow, there's a museum showing that here
in Arkansas, yeah,
paintings of people that look like me, and you know, and it was great, and that kind of kick-started this whole movement. So we started doing that, but not just with minority groups, but also people from neurodiverse backgrounds, also as well.
Hmm. We that kind of reminds me when we had Bang mm-hmm. on the show, but he's a hip hop artist from Fayetteville. And I asked him if he had ever thought about taking his music, you know, to the West Coast or the East Coast, somewhere where there was more of a platform for a Black hip hop artist rather than Arkansas. And he was like, no, that would defeat the purpose of what I'm doing. You know, it's like you want to be here. You want to start a movement. You want to bring the light. And so
you want to stand out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And if he had gone, you know, to any of these other places, he would have just been another one in the mass of people who are doing the same thing. And so I'm starting to see that in every, you know, artistic venture that I see around here. I'm like, hey, people are trying to actually stand out. They're not trying to run away from here. You know, like as much as the South is problematic and Arkansas is still the South, you are starting to see people who are just like, you know what, we can make a stand here. You know, we can shine here. So I think that's really cool that there is that community.
Yeah. It actually starts with the U of A. And I was a student at the U of A. I wasn't an international student at the time, but I hung out with international students because I felt like, you know, I had lived in Fayetteville for so long, but I still felt like I was alienated, mm-hmm. culturally speaking.
Right.
So going to the U of A, I was like, oh my God, I'm hanging out with this group from Europe and Germany. But then I was also, since I had lived in Fayetteville so long, I knew where everything was. I had a car.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew, you know, there was a nightclub that did not play, well, back in the day, they didn't play a lot of electronic music. But, you know, coming from Europe, you're kind of like, okay, where can I listen to some techno?
That's true.
There's this club down the street. Uh-huh. And now it's C4, but it was called Speakeasy at the time. And you could go there and listen to, like, you know, electronic music, and you'd have people from all over the world there. And that was kind of like a niche. So culturally speaking, you could find people from other countries in the most random places.
Yeah.
But, you know, you had to know Fayetteville.
Sure.
To get around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, it's very true. Something I've been thinking about recently is like one of the thoughts I had a while back where I just was like, man, I really miss Ecuador, and I miss specifically my school because it's an international school, and there just was so much diversity,
mm.
and just all my friends were from different places. And then even like if, you know, even if, you know, maybe one's Ecuadorian, he has lived in Russia for like 5 years. And
yeah.
So everyone's just eclectic and weird. And so then I thought, I was like, man, I wish that was the case here in Arkansas. And then I was like, it is, dummy. Like, you just are kind of in your bubble.
Yeah.
I was thinking about like my daily routine, and it's work, and where it's predominantly just people, like white people from Arkansas.
Right.
And then like my creative stuff outside, but which is mainly me because I'm a writer. So it's just kind of me. And so thinking about it, I was like, the arts is where a lot of the people are. Canopy's had great events, and you go and you see all the different people who are from all these different places and how they're able to be drawn and captured beautifully. Sam Gray, my mm-hmm. brother-in-law, who I hope to have on. But so it was kind of like a it's on me sort of thing, where it's like these people are here, like I want to hang out with them. I have to go talk to them.
Yeah.
Like it's, you're not going to just necessarily, if you stick to your routine and bubble of your own culture, you know, whatever. And so I think that's really cool, is like art does bring people together, and it's that connection of like, hey, here's my story. What's your story? Oh my gosh, I don't even know what that is. Like, tell me, show me, sing to me, draw, you know, all these different things. So
yeah,
I love it.
Are we all internationals?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, yes. You guys are great. No, really, this is, I'm very happy to hear this. I'm very, very happy. That's so cool. Oh my gosh. It's like, there's more of us.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was, again, cool seeing on your bio and then being like, yes. And this is a big part of why Noah and I created this show was, you could do it. Be like, hey, you seem cool. We want to hang out. But it's much easier when it's like, hey, I have a podcast. You know, want to come talk on it? You
right.
Know, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd love to come back. This is great.
Thank you. Good.
Come that's see awesome. Me on first Thursday, you know?
Yes.
Get to see me in my element.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's awesome.
No, it's been a great way to connect with the community and make friends. And again, I feel like we're just scratching the surface of it, but it's a start. And so,
yeah. And selfishly, this is our networking tool.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's our excuse.
Oh,
it is.
Oh,
it's
great.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, and we're very, and Noah, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but
I
feel like we're both very introverted.
That is true.
And maybe not very, like very.
Right.
We're very introverted. And so it's easier for us to do kind of one at a time,
yeah.
as opposed to like, I'm going to go to this big event and then get overwhelmed.
Oh, no.
And this way it's like,
yeah.
You're cool. I want you. You come to my place.
Yeah.
And so not in an aggressive way.
I'm glad you didn't come to me first on a busy night, because I would have. I would have felt really bad. There's so much really else bad.
Going on. Yeah.
And plus,
I love your paintings. And you're like, okay, random guy.
Well, no, it's like there's a lot happening.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, Joel, we need to get more glasses of wine. Oh, somebody wants to buy a painting. Yeah. Somebody wants to talk to you about this. And it's like, I literally sometimes, you know, I try my best to just push the people, please come back. Another day, please come back. I'd love to
talk to better.
You. Yeah, I'll give you my full attention. Just please come back.
Well, and for me, like, I'm atrocious at small talk. I just, like, I have a really hard time. But if I can dedicate an hour to talk to someone, then we'll talk about, you know, even if it's kind of small talk, like, we'll just talk about movies and stuff like that. It's still, like, that's a lot more meaningful to me than just kind of walking up to someone and trying to, you know, ease my way into whatever I really want to talk about by getting through all the, hey, how's it going? How you doing today? Hey, this is a cool place. Like, you know, it takes a lot longer. So this is our excuse for deep conversations.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's hard, like, outside when in the real world when you're doing stuff, like, your mind's in a certain zone. Mm-hmm. And so Noah and I are not famous or popular at all. But the few times that we have been, like, people been like, hey, like, on the street, like, I listened to your show or, like, I read your book, my mind's like, I'm about to get lunch. And when someone starts talking to me, I'm like, I don't know you. I wasn't expecting this. I just wanted a taco. And so it's when it's kind of like, this is a place for talking, for collaborating, for getting to know each other, for celebrating the other. My soul can prepare. I'm always very nervous beforehand. I'm like, why do I do this? Why do I make myself feel anxious? Why do I create this? But then it's always beautiful. Yeah. I'm like, that's why you do it, Kyle, because you're an idiot. And afterwards, you always feel good about it. So
yeah, you're great. You're great at it. So y'all are great.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I was like, okay, meeting at a building next to the railroad tracks. Let's do it.
Yeah, it's like dark outside. We're always, and we say this every episode, people who listen are probably so sick of hearing it.
Like, but
we're always amazed that people are like, yeah, well, I'll be on your show. And then they like pull up to the parking lot. There's like one other car. And they're like, this is a...
Yeah.
Building
abandoned Coca-Cola factory next to a railroad.
Greg is your witness. Greg Avenue.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes.
I think if Onyx wasn't across the street, I don't think anyone would come.
That's true.
They're like, Onyx is near you? Okay, fine. Yeah. Like, it must be okay.
I'll get some coffee and then I'll come over.
Yeah. Noah, do you have any last questions before we wrap up?
No, I think those are good place to.
I disagree. I think it was a great space.
Okay.
Yeah. Joelle, before we part, we have a little segment called Rapid Fire. We ask some quick, goofy, silly questions.
Okay.
Basically, answer as quickly as possible. But also, if you're like, I don't know, you're allowed to say pass.
Okay.
Does that sound okay to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't be nervous.
Yeah, me be a little nervous. No. All right. Noah, can you say Rapid Fire in a cool voice?
No.
All right, that's all I needed. It's time for Rapid Fire. In a physical brawl to the death, polar bear versus grizzly bear, go.
Oh my gosh. Pass.
Favorite color?
Blue.
Does listening to a book on Audible count as reading it?
Yes.
Good. We're very passionate about that.
Yes.
Rochelle Bradshaw and the Hypnotion or Sophia and Christian?
That is a terrible question, pass.
Favorite thing to eat or drink at Nomads?
Oh, definitely. I do enjoy their mimosas, but I will say the Fayettown burger.
All right. Mm. Why can't I look myself in the mirror anymore?
The lights are off.
Nice. That's a non-sad reason. I like it. If you painted a portrait of Noah and you weren't allowed to call it Noah, what would you call it?
Me?
Have you ever seen a mannequin with six arms?
Yes.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being super chill dude and 10 being, oh my sweet Lord, I'm stressed. How stressful was it painting a pregnant woman's belly?
Oh, super chilled.
Dang. Last one. You're fluent in several languages, as we discussed. Out of all of them, which one would be hardest to say the following? The clown cat has married the spaghetti, and I'm mighty upset by the implications.
Oh, man. definitely German, because there'll probably be one verb for this whole thing.
I was
going
to say, it's probably just one word, and it's about 30 letters long.
It captures this very specific.
Yeah, and it's used in daily, you know, speech. Like, actually, it's a common situation.
Yeah, can you send me that? I'd be happy to try it out.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Wow, you did your research well. That's great.
I think it should be the next title of something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Joelle, you nailed it. Thank you so much for coming and being on the show. We really appreciate it.
It's fun.
If people want to party with you more, follow you, see what you're up to. Do you have any main spots that you would like us to direct them?
Oh yeah. I'm always at the farmer's market. I absolutely love people's companies. I love seeing people come into the gallery and have people come into my studio. And I have a kid's playroom where you can come in and color. It doesn't matter what age.
Yes. I love that.
And you get to actually, it's like a little framed piece of paper. It's got a frame in it. You get to write your name and your age. And
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I love it. All right. Well, be sure to do that. And again, we'll have website and all that stuff in the show links if people are interested. And if they're interested in us, Noah, they can stalk us in person. Easy to find. They know we're across from Greg. But also they can do that on our website, ominous.media, or on Instagram, ominous_media, or our personal Instagrams, which we don't need to get into. They know where to go.
That's right.
And listeners, thank you for listening. Thank you for participating. You're great, and you're objectively attractive. Noah, Joelle, thank you so much. I wish you both wonderful evenings.
Thank you.
Bye.